Want to tell you our sponsor is American Financing. American Financing, whether you're buying your first, your next, or your forever home, you've got to make the right investment. When you have the financing and interest rates, you have to have the right people working for you so you know you get everything that you need. Don't think that the bank is giving you a loan. They are selling you a loan, and you need somebody on your side to find the right interest rate and the right loan package for you.
Yeah, when someone's selling you something, you want to get it at the best price. I mean, think about the historic level we've had with these interest rates now for, almost a decade?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to last forever.
No. So please, lock yourself into a fixed loan, not a variable loan, a fixed loan. Get one now while they're still gettable, if you will, at these interest rates. It's AmericanFinancing.net. You can call them 800-906-2440 or just go to AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net. You know, I think I could do, you know, the rest of my life, I could continue to do shows just on the hypocrisy of the left. But I want to try to find meaning in what is happening and things that are meaningful to you in your life and how you can make your life better. But I do have to just touch base here on Nancy Pelosi. Apparently, most Americans found Donald Trump good. 75% of those in the CBS poll taken right after were like, yeah, I agree with him. I thought that was a good speech. But the left has enjoyed the Nancy Pelosi clapping and her eye rolls and her chomping down on her lips. However, yesterday, a reporter from the Daily Caller asked the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi what she thought about President Trump's statements during the State of the Union about late-term abortions. We get there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Our sponsor this half hour is Relief Factor. If you're in constant pain, you are not alone. There are millions of Americans, 50 million Americans, who are in constant pain and they miss work due to pain. 50 million Americans are missing work today because of pain. You can spend $2,000 a year. That's what the average person spends. And 66% of those people believe they're going to live in pain for the rest of their life. I started taking Relief Factor about a year ago, and it has really helped me. I felt the best I've felt in 5 years. It's 100% drug-free. It's created by doctors. There's a three-week quick start. It's $19.95. So they know, they sell them in a package for a month, but they know that in 3 weeks, it's either going to work for you or it's not. So they package this quick start for 3 weeks. If it works for you, you order more. If it doesn't, just stop taking it. I will tell you that in 3 weeks, it's changed my life. 800-500-8384. It's relieffactor.com.
I'm hung up on that stat. Did you say 66% of people believe they're never going to get rid of pain?
Yes.
That's just like giving up on life. 66%. That's an incredibly high number.
You've tried everything.
Yeah, geez.
I mean, it's pain is the most discouraging thing you can possibly go through. After you go through it for a few years, you're just like,
this is my life now.
It's my life and I can't do it for very long.
Ugh.
I mean, it's awful. It's awful.
Definitely worth $20 to try to get rid of that.
Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. So here's Nancy Pelosi, after being asked by the Daily Caller, what do you think about the president's statements about abortion, late-term abortion?
What do you think about the president calling on a ban on late-term abortions?
It's really quite a sad thing when you know that what we're talking about is something that applies to the health and life, health and ability to have other children of women. I hope that in his family, he never has to face that crisis and apply his attitude toward.
Is there a bigger lie than that? You know what a sad thing is? A sad thing is that our elected officials are deliberately misleading people. We have to face up to the truth here. Beyond spin, this is the time when I've said you have to have credibility, because at some point people aren't going to know what to do and who to trust, and you have to have credibility. If you still have credibility, now is the time for you to stand up and say, look, I want you to read the bill. I want you to listen to what she just said. I want you to read the bill. And I want you to also listen to Ben Sasse when he stood up and he asked senators to just take a stand on afterbirth abortion. And the Democrats wouldn't take a stand. What's sad, Nancy, is dilation and extraction, the method that is used for surgical abortion, used for abortions after 21 weeks. An abortion of any kind is hideous, but many of the methods used for late-term abortion, it's just torture and murder. That's quite a charge to make. But I want you to just think, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but I just want you to think just for a second so you can share this with your friends in a compassionate way. Would you ever hold a baby down, a newborn baby, and rip its legs and arms off? We would all say, of course not. It's horrible to even think of that. What they're asking you, what Nancy Pelosi is saying, is that it is okay to, as the woman goes into labor, to kill the child. Why won't we do it? Why are we so horrified by doing it outside of the womb, but 5 minutes before the baby is born? We'll do horrible things. Pelosi has her reasons for saying this, and they might not entirely be rooted in compassion for women, women's rights. For one, the guest she invited to the State of the Union was Leanna Wen, the president of Planned Parenthood, who boldly took to Twitter to say this: as an immigrant, a mother, a doctor, and the president of Planned Parenthood, I am honored to attend the State of the Union as the guest of Speaker Pelosi, who throughout her illustrious career has been a staunch champion for women's rights, immigrant rights, voting rights, and universal access to health care. The best response to all of this, perhaps the one that has had the most sway, is this one.
Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. These are living, feeling, beautiful babies who will never get the chance to share their love and their dreams with the world. And then we had the case of the governor of Virginia, where he stated he would execute a baby after birth. To defend the dignity of every person, I am asking Congress to pass legislation to prohibit the late-term abortion of children who can feel pain in the mother's womb.
How do you say no to that? How do you not applaud what he said? You may have disagreed with everything he said except for this. I am asking Congress to pass legislation to ban killing the baby after birth. How is that not universally heralded? Don't let the Trump derangement syndrome stop you from seeing the truth. your friends who are so deranged, they've lost their handle. Many of them are the same ones who said we were racist for bringing up socialism, that we said socialism is what President Obama is pushing. He is a socialist, and that's not a welfare system. That is a complete repudiation of the free market. All of it, not just drugs, but all of it. And they said that was racist. They are still saying. Ocasio-Cortez said that this was name-calling. No, it's not name-calling. It's not. It is a political philosophy, and a political philosophy that has been heralded by some for a very long time. I'm not name-calling by saying you're a socialist. I mean, unless you're name-calling when you say, oh, well, you're a conservative or a Republican. I know it's name-calling when you say that. I know it is. But it's not name-calling when I say you're a Democrat. And it's not name-calling when I say you are a socialist. Ocasio-Cortez, you're a socialist. You know it. I know it. You admit to it. You're a socialist. You say the free market system isn't going to be with us forever. Well, I hope you're wrong. But it's not name-calling. There's a cliff. There's a cliff. I've tried to prepare my family, and I've tried to prepare you and myself for this cliff. And I didn't know what it would look like. And I wondered if I would ever see it. But I warned you it would come. And it was made real to me when I was in Poland and I met with a woman who I've told you a million times, saved Jews, one of the righteous among the nations, who when I said, I know the tree of righteousness lives in all of us, in all of us. How do I water the tree? And she shook her head and looked at me in disbelief and said, you misunderstand. The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with everyone else. We are at that cliff, and your friends are going over that cliff because they're being lied to. What Nancy Pelosi said. Listen to what she said. It's a different argument. We are talking about a law being passed that you cannot kill a child after birth. Now, I would include, but that's not what the president was saying. I would include right before birth, because there is no medical reason ever for a woman to have a baby killed inside of her as she's dilated, as she's giving birth. There's no reason to kill that child, only to have her give birth vaginally 3 days later. How does that make any sense? But that's not what the president is talking about. He's talking about banning people from neglecting a child after birth to kill it. Listen to the argument again that she was making.
What do you think about the president calling on a ban on late-term abortions?
It's really quite a sad thing when you know that what we're talking about is something that applies to the health and life, health and ability to have other children of women. I hope that in his family he never has to face that crisis apply his attitude toward it.
Now, to give her the benefit of the doubt, because the reporter said late-term abortions, we could get into the stats. the vast majority of those women that have late term abortions, it has nothing to do with health. You'll see in the stats that were taken after people had late term abortions, what was the reason given to the doctor? The number one reason is I didn't know I was pregnant. Number two is I didn't know where to get an abortion, or I couldn't decide whether or not to have an abortion. And now here I am delivering the baby and I want to kill it. Those are the reasons. We're at a cliff. We have to talk with peace and love and compassion without the pointing of the fingers, without all of the things that I did to you during the election of Donald Trump. We have to learn from my mistake and listen with compassion and try to talk reason, because this one is the cliff that kills our society.
This is why you're so valuable as a host. You make so many mistakes that are,
yes,
people can learn,
yes,
from.
It's almost like no human being could make as many mistakes as I
have. That's
what
I'm saying.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all intentional.
Okay,
it's
good.
All intentional. I'm just trying to demonstrate what not to do.
Can we go into a fact check on this point about abortion from a State of the Union that the New York Times did? Oh, my gosh.
Fact checking is dead.
Oh, I mean, the New York Times was an embarrassment on this during the State of the Union.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the former editor of the New York Times put a book out? And it looks like a lot of plagiarism was happening there. But,
really?
Yes. But Oliver Darcy said, the way he explained it was, there are many words that appear in other places. Well, yes, that is one way of putting it. Another way is I lifted an entire paragraph without any kind of attribution and put it in my book. And when you see the many words, it's paragraph after paragraph after paragraph.
So the plagiarism wasn't in the Times. It was in the book,
in a book.
By the Times.
Yes.
Is this the same one where she was saying there was lots of problems at the Times? Is this-
yeah, and she was talking about truth. Yeah, how to find truth. And now she's saying, I didn't plagiarize. Can you explain this magic jumble of words that just happened to appear here, here, and here? And they're all from different magazines? It's weird. Anyway, let me tell you about Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home. Fear has no place in the house. It really, this is your castle. This is the place that everybody's supposed to be protected. Well, is your house safe? Simply Safe has made that their mission from day one, and 3 million families already agree and are now protected with Simply Safe. I remember when this company had 6 employees. I remember last year when it was only 2 million people having their homes and their businesses protected by Simply Safe. Simply Safe does it right. It is round-the-clock security, monitoring the police, make sure the police are on their way, the fire is on their way when you need them. The security sensors are really tiny. They blend in with your home, so you don't really notice them, and neither will the bad guys. The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security, and it's a wire cutter top pick. That's why 3 million people have it in their home and their businesses, and you can protect your home and get 10% off right now. You'll get free shipping on any system order. Just visit simplysafebeck.com and get started. That's simplysafebeck.com. Get 10% off your home security system with simplysafebeck.com. We break now. 10 seconds for station ID. So fact checking is dead in America. You can't even trust the fact checkers anymore. Here is the look at the New York Times.
This is they had several of these. I've been cheering for a while for the State of the Union to just go back to being a letter, because I don't like the speech. I know you had a really good time at it. It was really interesting.
No, I didn't have a good time. It was
Interesting.
It was terrifying in many ways, but it was fascinating to see it in person.
I think we're doing a call-in show tonight.
Yeah.
If you have questions about Glenn being in the room and any insight that you were wondering about how those moments went over, that would be an interesting thing to do tonight.
Yeah, it would.
If you want to call into the TV show tonight, 5 p.m. Eastern on Blaze TV. I read it, and I read it with the New York Times fact checks, because this is the way I torture myself. So listen to this fact check. This is the quote about abortion from Trump. Lawmakers in New York cheered with delight upon the passage of legislation that would allow a baby to be ripped from the mother's womb moments from birth. They say this is misleading.
That's absolutely true.
Okay. How is it misleading? Here's their explanation.
Ripped.
It does not broadly allow abortions until shortly before birth, as Mr. Trump suggested. First of all, he didn't say anything about it being broad. He just said it would allow it. So any possible occurrence of a baby being ripped out from a mother's womb moments before birth is enough for me to oppose it.
Right.
Okay. If there was one possibility, like if, I don't know, if there was a slot machine in every surgery, abortion surgery room, and they pulled it, and if it came up 888, that meant that they got to rip it out of the womb, I would have a problem with that. But of course, it doesn't limit it that way at all. He never suggests it's broad. However, it goes on to say it will allow for an abortion after 24 weeks to protect the mother's health. Now, of course, you tell me whether this language is broad or not.
Okay, now wait a minute. Mm-hmm. First of all, are you telling me there isn't a slot machine?
There's no slot machine. I made that part up. There's not a slot machine.
I'm pretty sure there is a slot machine, and if it did exist, it would come up 666, not 888, but that's a different story. Go ahead.
Fair point. Okay, so again, Trump doesn't say it's broad. Mm-hmm. They say he's misleading because it doesn't broadly allow them. So that is right off the bat, you're not fact-checking what he said. You're fact-checking something else.
Correct.
Secondly, tell me this is not broad. It is an exception for women's health. This is the only terms you can get one. The women's health exemption only comes up in these cases. Quote, all factors. Physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age relevant to the well-being of the patient. The familiar one's amazing. So it has to do with the family,
yeah,
which is I don't know. I'm in the middle of aborting a kid. Sure, that's going to cause me some familial stress.
Right.
Sure.
My husband doesn't want the baby. My husband is bad, whatever. So kill the child.
Unbelievable.
It's really unbelievable. David Harsanyi wrote a great op-ed on the death of fact-checking.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
That's great stuff. Blinds.com, the one home improvement you can do that will totally change the look and feel of your home, and there's no contractor required, there's no high ticket price. If you want to sell your home this spring, this is the best thing you can do. I mean, this is curb appeal inside the house. Most people replace their blinds and window coverings when they're selling their home, but...
Why not enjoy them?
Exactly
You're living there, you might as well enjoy them and
enjoy
upgrade
them.
The house.
Blinds.com makes the selection, the ordering, the installation of brand new window coverings fast and easy. The design consultants will chat online. They'll get on the phone. They'll FaceTime with you. That's how committed they are to help you pick and install the perfect window coverings right now through February 14th. Huge site-wide savings, plus an additional 5% off if you use the radio code Beck. That's radio code Beck at Blinds.com. Radio code Beck, Blinds.com.
In just moments, I'm going to attempt to sell Glenn on doing another New York Times fact check, this one on the border.
Yes.
Oh, we have to.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay.
Oh,
back
yes,
in a second.
Please.
Why pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought for a government-run healthcare system and stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? That's AARP. Join AMAC, the conservative alternative. Same money-saving benefits of AARP without the liberal agenda. Stand with AMAC as they fight the good fight. Become a member today. Join now at amac.us/USA. amac.us/USA.
So we just have to fact-check the media here. And we've already debunked the New York Times on one front. But there are multiple fronts that the New York Times is lying. They are lying to you. And you cannot claim to be the paper of record and then claim, well, we were just looking at it from this point of view. Because what Stu just lined out for the way they fact-checked abortion is so misleading, it's a lie.
Yeah, he says that abortion can be allowed, you know, ripping the baby right out of the mother's womb moments before birth. They say that's not true because it's not broadly going to happen. First of all, he didn't suggest it was broadly going to happen. So you're fact-checking something he didn't say. Secondarily, the restrictions on a woman's health exemption are so impossibly broad, they are literally written as, quote, all factors. That is could there be anything more broad than all factors?
No. It's like I left my keys in space. Well, can you narrow it down? I did. What? That's not a broad outline. They're in space.
It's about how bad it is. Same thing with the border. This one's fascinating to me. Try to navigate the window. They are trying to fit this in. Okay. President Trump described illegal border crossings as a, quote, urgent national crisis. This is false. Okay. Now, first of all, it's somewhat of a subjective thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, urgent national crisis. Mm-hmm. However, it's not a subjective thing to the New York Times, who writes in the fact check, quote, a record number of families have tried to cross the border in recent months, overwhelming officials at the border, and, quote, creating a new kind of humanitarian crisis.
So
they are themselves calling it an overwhelming new kind of crisis. And in that's in a fact check about saying it's an urgent national crisis is false. So what? It's new and it's overwhelming.
And it's a crisis.
But it's a crisis. But it's not urgent. How is this false? You yourself are using the exact same word he used to describe it.
So here's let me give you a couple from CNN. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's CNN. Jim Acosta. Jim Acosta, we all know what Jim Acosta is going to say, but here's his tweet. Unity. Trump turns from Venezuela to take a swipe at the Dems. Here in the United States, we're alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. America was founded on liberty and independence, not government coercion, domination, and control. Okay. Yes. And I think that's what everybody on the left says, that we shouldn't have a coercive government. We shouldn't have control. That big government in the hands of conservatives, it's just nothing but coercion. He's not even saying, no, that's what the founding fathers wanted. He's not even saying that.
Right.
What he's saying is that it is by restating the foundational principles of the American experiment is somehow divisive.
Sadly, I think he's right on that. It's divisive because about half the country doesn't believe in any of it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's not name calling. Mm-hmm. It isn't being divisive in your the way you're looking at it. Oh, he's just trying to be divisive. No, he's stating a fact. There are people who say, let's get rid of the free market system. They are even in Congress. They are growing in popularity. That's not who we are. We have never been a government of coercion. We have in the progressive eras, dare I say it. But we have always had to apologize for, put the Japanese in prison camps. We've always had to apologize for those progressive errors. Excuse me, how is this divisive? Let me give you another one. Here's Brian Stelter, and this is in his newsletter.
You beat yourself up and read that thing every night, don't you? You do not seem to be a particular fan of Brian's work. However, find yourself in front of that newsletter every night.
Because I think he is just out of his mind. I really do. I really do. Trump's frightening rhetoric about immigration. It rings true to Fox viewers, but it strikes many other Americans as extreme and even a joke. Here's what he said. We have just heard that Mexican cities, in order to remove the illegal immigrants from their communities, are getting trucks and buses to bring them up to our country in areas where there is little border protection. Now, As he was saying that, that night, there was a local news report that said the first of 55 buses, the caravan, is now beginning to arrive at our southern border. 55 buses, a caravan, moving to our border, to the unprotected places. How is this divisive? How is this a joke? How is this not true? They have really truly lost touch with truth entirely. They hate him so much. And I have to tell you, by being in the room at the State of the Union, you know how I feel about the State of the Union. I think it is awful. I think it's a joke. I think it's pomp and circumstance. I hate every second of it.
You've said that ever since I've known you.
Yes.
Over 20 years ago.
Correct. And I still hate every second of it. But if I were in the government, I would reposition the cameras, because all you focus on is the president. And then the cameras direct your attention to what the cameras want to show you. What I saw on television in clips was different than what I saw when I was there. And what I saw, I was behind Congress and above them. So I could see, and I know we're all above Congress, but I could see who was going through their Facebook pages. Who is tweeting stuff? Who is taking selfies? Who is just reading something that was not the text of the speech? Who was nudging each other and laughing? Who was hissing, booing, doing things that you cannot hear on television? And I came away with, and I know this is going to cause me all kinds of trouble, but I came away with respect on how restrained this president was.
Wow. Okay? You don't hear that very often.
You don't see the people on the left and how they treat him. Now, what we focus on is this. Jemele Hill. She is an Atlantic staff writer.
And former high-profile ESPN host, we should point out.
She tweeted this. Somebody tweeted, please let AOC yell out, whose man's is this? I don't even know what that means.
Sure, it's a reference. You're right in your demographic.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Jemele Hill writes and tweets, nah, she's got to yell, get your hand out of my pocket.
Gosh, it's almost like you're playing the audio. You nailed that line so well.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do you know what that is?
I don't, but I'm sure you do.
Yes. Get your hand out of my pocket.
I like how your name.
Thank you.
I get yo hand.
Was what was screamed in the auditorium by a man who was part of the crew that was assassinating Malcolm X. He was in the back and he stood up as Malcolm X was speaking peacefully. And he said, get your hand out of my pocket. And that was the cue, and everybody jumped up. It became melee. Four guys came to the stage and gunned Malcolm X down in a hail of bullets. Mm. He was riddled with bullets. They kept shooting and kept shooting and kept shooting. They made sure that man was dead. How is it that this woman still has a blue check mark?
Oh, and she's praised. The media loves Jemele Hill.
Of course they do.
Oh, yeah.
Of course they do. And that's all we see. All we see is the ones that come out of reporters and out of conservative journals that say, hey, wait a minute, this is a little double standard, and this is horrible.
Yeah.
Can you imagine had I said that about Barack Obama?
Oh, my God.
How many times did I say under Bush, under every president, joking about the safety of the president is never funny.
Never a good idea.
Never. Can you imagine if somebody would have said that who was in a position of power about Barack Obama? And yet she still has her Twitter feed. And she still has a blue check mark.
Let's not forget the exact publication you're talking about that she now works after losing her job at ESPN. Got rid of Kevin Williamson for a years-old quote taken out of context about abortion. Here is, she's publicly saying this. This is essentially the equivalent of, I don't believe that she's going to go try to kill the president. However, you don't joke about those things. And it certainly, in the other way, you know, if the other way around, it would be something that she would get fired for if she were to say that about Barack Obama and she was a conservative. And The Atlantic in particular is firing people because of controversial speech. And they're going to make Kevin Williamson have to leave, but they're going to keep Jemele Hill.
So because of that, and here's what I've missed, because of that. When you see these congressmen, and mainly the congresswomen in the progressive caucus, they were so unbelievably disrespectful. They were so unbelievably out of control, really out of control. For decorum, no one would find that acceptable if the other side had done that to Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. No one would find it acceptable. You wouldn't find their behavior acceptable in Congress if it was Barack Obama. They were so disrespectful because they know they can get away with it. They can laugh at a tweet like this and get away with it.
Yeah. Remember the New York Times writer who was saying all white people should be killed and everything? It was funny. It was a funny thing.
It was a funny little
joke.
Come
on. You know what she means.
So that has empowered these people. And I did not take into account what it is like for the president, because he is the president, what it's like for the president to face these people every single day and how they mistreat him. We all see the mistreatment that we see, but we only see the mistreatment that somebody on a conservative platform will catch and point out. Mm-hmm. And in many times that is only coming from the liberal owned cameras that are shooting everything. When you're actually in that situation and you're watching, I'm telling you, I have more respect for the president on how restrained he was.
Before we go to break here, can I request one thing on behalf of the audience? Can you read Jemele Hill's tweet one more time, please?
This is on by request?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, she gotta yell, get your hand out my pocket.
Ah, perfect, perfect. Thank you. Thank you. It was excellent reading.
Thank you. You know, I was turned down for that role.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Strange.
Strange.
Anyway, 1-800 flowers today marks the 7-day countdown.
7 days.
7 days.
I got to make this call.
7 days for this made up holiday called Valentine's Day.
What's the phone number, though? I can never remember the phone number for 1-800 flowers. I got to write this down.
1-800 flowers.
Okay.
1-800flowers.com.
1-800flowers.com. Do I have to write on the phone? Do I have to type .com?
No, you go to the website, 1-800flowers.com.
So if I want to call, it's 1-800flowers.com. And if I want to go to the web, just type 1-800flowers.
Okay, your wife is not going to have a good Valentine's
this
Day.
This is my excuse, though. I can later on say, look, I misunderstood how to order.
I didn't know. Mm. Don't put it off. This is your red alert is here. By the way, are we going to save the poor souls that forgot next week?
We're considering that.
It's
in process.
Yeah, we haven't done it for a few years, and it's good, but it will cost you. Mm-hmm. It will cost you. Anyway, right now, when you order, you're going to get 18 roses, 18 red roses for $29.99. Now, do you remember when I told you 2 weeks ago, order these in advance because they're going to be more expensive, and they were $19.99? Yeah, that's what you get, because now they're harder to get. So it's 18 roses for $29.99.
Still really low.
Really
for 18 red roses.
Are you kidding me? Do you remember when literally the guys in New York on Valentine's Day, we were down in the subway at the flower store trying to, we would buy baby's breath. Yeah. We tried to buy baby's breath. They were out of everything else. Now you can upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. So 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. It's 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers.com. Make sure you click on the radio icon and enter the radio code Beck. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Radio code Beck. Offer ends tomorrow. Do it now.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
First, this message from Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor to alleviate inflammation and pain now for about a year, and it is really, really good. It makes a real difference to me. Pain can be debilitating, but most of our pain is coming from inflammation. And if you can get that under control, your life really changes. I want you to try Relief Factor. Before you give up on your pain, just try Relief Factor. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work after 3 weeks, it's not going to work for you. 70% of the people who try it go on to order more month after month after month. I've been taking 3 times a day now for over a year. It's Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, or relieffactor.com. Go to relieffactor.com now. A pretty incredible story when we come back. So we have been debating abortion. We are talking about what's happening here in the United States going over the cliff, but what's happening in Africa from the United States, in particular the Gates Foundation, is pretty horrifying, especially in its scale. We have the author of Target Africa to tell us exactly what's going on. In 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I feel so bad when she gets on because I'm going to just butcher her name because I can't pronounce.
You can't pronounce like Smith most of the time. I can't even imagine how this is going to go.
Okay, thank you, Stu. Liberty Safe. Liberty Safes are not just for men. They're, you know, not just for storing guns and ammo. They are perfect for keeping things you want to keep safe from your children or prowlers. Medication, passports, collectibles, gold, anything.
Baked goods. I think it's important to make sure that your baked goods are not taken by others in your family. Don't give them the combination to your safe, because if they can get into your Liberty Safe, they can. I mean, there's Twinkies in there. There's Chocodiles.
If I had kryptonite, it would be, and I know this sounds weird, but it would be rice pudding.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I know. It doesn't make any sense. Rice pudding is my kryptonite.
I like rice pudding, but I feel like it's no one's top tier.
No, I know. But I would put it in a Liberty Safe because somebody always eats it. And I'm like, no, if it's rice pudding, it belongs to me.
It also belongs refrigerated. So, I mean, you might want to.
I know. Well, I can eat a lot of it quickly. Okay. kids will sneak in between. All right. Anyway, one of the best built safes on the planet is, I don't recommend rice pudding, but just about anything else you can put in your Liberty Safe. LibertySafe.com. LibertySafe.com. I want to welcome to the program Obi Anuju Okocha. Doctor,
oh,
are you there? How is that? Was that even close?
Well, Obi Anuju Okocha, you actually did it.
Wow. Amazing.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Is there a shorter version of your name I may refer to you?
Everyone calls me Uju, which is the last three letters of my first name. And I need to correct something. I'm a Nigerian. I'm a biomedical scientist, not a doctor. I'm a biomedical scientist in hematology and blood banking. And I live in the UK and I work out of the UK. So I do work in Africa, but I live in the UK most of the year.
So I got your name right, but everything else is wrong. Okay, that's a new one.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure. So Uju, can you tell us what you have found going on in Africa and Nigeria?
Right. Not just Nigeria, really. It is Africa. You were right the first time. So a couple of years ago, I was just minding my business here in the UK. Not a problem. Still, of course, very much going back to Africa for various things for my family. A lot of my family is still out in Nigeria. And I realized that the Gates Foundation was doing this massive, massive, massive contraception program. But it was beyond contraception. This was more like population control. Melinda Gates was raising at the time $5 billion. And anybody can check this. This was her project from 2012. She did a massive family planning summit here in London. And she was with David Cameron at the time, and they were moving towards African nations. She said it was the 69 poorest countries in the world, but 69 poorest countries in the world includes almost all of the 54 countries of Africa. So this really I found quite disconcerting, and looked into it a bit and found this woman was trying to rebrand the entire agenda of population control. She was making it nicer, she was making it more sleek, and it was really terrible thing what she was doing. So I started investigating. I wrote this thing that then became known as the Open Letter to Melinda Gates. So it was the African Woman's Letter, Open Letter to Melinda Gates, where I was begging her not to use the $5 billion for this project. I said, if you want to help African women, education, security, food and water, there were so many things she could have used it for if she really wanted to help us. So for all these years, I mean, in the last couple of years, of course, I've been going to the United Nations every year, and I see a bigger picture. It's happening. Yes, the UN headquarters from New York, you see a massive agenda to come into Africa and really recolonize the African people with regards to some of these issues, you know, not just population control, but also abortion.
So, first of all, you know, handing out condoms in the Catholic world, that is almost old world Catholic, not American Catholic, that is still kind of a taboo to hand out any kind of contraception. But this goes beyond contraception, and they are encouraging women to have abortions because their children would be better off dead than living in Africa in poverty. Is that the...
Yeah, most of the African countries have refused to legalize abortion, and the Africans are fine with it. We do not have an abortion movement, you know, an organic abortion movement in any of the African countries. But what we find is a really sleek campaign pressurizing or putting the African countries and African governments under pressure to legalize abortion. And what you find, Glenn, is that in most of the African capitals now, you have International Planned Parenthood Federation. Right there, they say they're doing family planning, but it's beyond that. We see them putting a lot of your tax dollars. When they get your tax dollars, they use it in Africa to buy politicians. They use it to infiltrate African parliament. So up to today, only 4 African countries out of 54 have legalized abortion. Most of the other African countries are still holding the line. But we find that more and more, we're even getting lawsuits being funded from D.C. You know, the Center for Reproductive Rights is running right now they have a big case against the Kenyan government. How is it that an American organization can come to an African country and sue an entire African country for not legalizing abortion? So it is a horrible battle we have on our hands, and they have all the money, we have nothing.
Now let me play devil's advocate with you, Yuju. Some would say that culturally speaking, there are places in the world where women are oppressed, women who have children out of wedlock, or they're in deep, deep poverty, that their life is a living hell because it's a male-dominated society, and the women would like to be able to have control of their body and control over birth. Would you respond to that?
That is not true. That is not true, Glenn, because the polls do not show that. So a poll that was done a couple of years ago in Kenya, I looked closely at it because I didn't want to be moving with anecdotes and what I've seen on the streets, you know, of African nations. Mm-hmm. I have seen polls that have shown that African women are so strong strongly against abortion, you see, because we have, even beyond religion, we have cultural beliefs on things like bloodlines. African tribes and ethnic groups and African people, a lot of them believe in bloodlines. And what we believe is that we are carrying the bloodlines from our ancestors onto generations coming. What abortion does in that equation, Glenn, is that it breaks the African bloodlines and it breaks family bloodlines. So for many, many African women, if you speak to them, especially when you go to Africa, not the ones who have been westernized, they will tell you that they believe that abortion is an abomination. It's a direct attack on human life. We African women are more friendly, I'd say, to motherhood. And yes, we want to have women rise out of poverty. I am for education of the African girl. I want to see more African women going into med schools and nursing schools. And, you know, I want them to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with girls and women all over the world. But abortion is not the way to do it. And even the Africans themselves, in some countries, you have polls as high as 80% of population being against abortion under any circumstance. So abortion is something that no African nation will take up unless a Western country is behind the move.
I believe Bill Gates, his father, was high up in Planned Parenthood in his day. And so he kind of, Bill Gates himself, grew up in an atmosphere that had, you know, a lot of respect for Margaret Sanger. When you say population control, that takes on a different kind of connotation. One, birth control and family planning. But you're actually using the words population control, which takes on a more nefarious kind of sound, if you will, and almost conjures up the idea of sterilizing a population.
Absolutely. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. So nothing wrong in raising children. And I believe that if an African woman is educated, she will decide, you know, she can read, you know, pharmaceutical inserts of drugs, and she can decide this is what I want or this is what I don't want for myself. But what we find, Glenn, is that these Western organizations like the Gates Foundation are coming into African countries and African villages and African cities and towns, and they are moving quantities of contraception through populations that do not know what the side effects are, do not understand what they are. So we are finding that once they leave our villages, you're picking up women who are almost dying because of some sort of side effects that they never heard of, never expected. Women are turning up sterile. There is no, and they can't take recourse to any medical system, or, you know, the healthcare facility is just not there. So it's really beyond, this is not family planning. This is population control, because they are infiltrating, getting to our governments. Gates Foundation can walk into any African health ministry. That scares me. That scares me because they are dictating the agenda of the various African health ministries from country to country. So they've really placed themselves in this position that is almost godlike in African countries. And anyone who reads my book, Target Africa, will find the big picture. Even the Clinton Foundation is also getting into that business of brokering with pharmaceutical industries, pharmaceutical companies coming from the West, making money off of the bodies of African women. I believe that that is the real war being waged in Africa. It's the war against the fertility of the African woman.
We have entered a time here in America, Uju, of I think, profound evil. We are now in the State of the Union, having half of our Congress not willing to stand and applaud the effort to stop the killing of a child moments after birth, not even abortion, killing after birth. Half of our Congress wouldn't stand in support of that. We're at a point of choosing, and it seems to always be the same kind of people, or actually the exact same people, that are pushing these things all around the world, even though the population in America is not with them on this.
Yeah, can I say something that is really related to your Congress particularly? On the 3rd of January of this year, when your new Congress came into session, and I think Speaker Pelosi, I think that's her name, she then became the Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. she moved something called a HR 21 appropriations bill. Now, I study these things very closely, and I work very closely sometimes too, fortunately, with the present administration. And the HR 21 appropriations bill has within it a part of it that wants to resume funding to abortion organizations in Africa. In Africa. So the Mexico City policy was reinstated by President Donald Trump on his first day in office, I think back in 2017. And then the very first thing that these new people did when they came into office this year was to try to undermine the Mexico City policy, which directly is saving the lives of African babies and saving women, African women, from being hurt. That throughout the 8 years of President Obama, unfortunately, even though the Africans loved him, the one thing my brothers and sisters in Africa didn't realize is that the Obama administration was spending millions and millions of dollars from the pockets of U.S. taxpayers to kill children and babies in Africa, to bring population control to African countries, to run ads, horrible ads that any American, I think, will be ashamed of. But these things were being run in African countries. But because we are so small, Glenn, nobody heard our voice. Nobody gave us any audience. We tried to get to the Obama administration. They would not talk to us. So now the first thing these people who were sitting yesterday during the State of the Union event was, they were the people who, the same people who now want to resume funding for the killing of African babies. And I think it's very, very unfortunate. As an African, I call them out on it. I call the women, the African-American women in your Congress who are Democrats, I call out the Democrat women. And I'm saying, as an African woman, I find it objectionable that they want to start moving millions of dollars into African nations to kill our children and to bring in a kind of feminism that it will be toxic to the African society.
Uju, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and an honor to talk to you, and thank you for taking on this fight and alerting America. The name of the book is Target Africa, something that everyone should read, especially if you believe other cultures have a right to exist. I thought that was something that the left was all about. The culture in Africa is against abortions, and the left, led by the Gates Foundation, is doing the exact opposite. And we are killing children with our tax dollars in Africa. Thank you so much, Uju. I appreciate it, and we'll continue to follow.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Culture of Life, Africa. .com is her website. Sponsor this half hour is Field Greens, a real superfood. The difference that sets it apart can be seen on the bottle. It has nutrition facts, not
supplement facts.
Because
supplement facts can mean anything, really.
Yeah, and supplement means you have to supplement what's in there with something nutritious.
Right. There's this thing that goes around with superfoods, and everyone likes to call themselves a superfood. I think they'd put it on like Captain Crunch if they could. You know what I mean? Like, which I actually agree with Captain Crunch being
superfood. I do too. Fruit Loops as well.
But that's the thing. You can eat Captain Crunch and then have a scoop of Field of Greens, and you're actually getting all the vegetables, all the nutrients you're supposed to get in form of real food. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to actually eat a salad.
Yeah. And you don't have to. And they can market superfood, and you'll know it's a superfood when it has nutrition facts on it, not supplement facts. All of the things that the supplement's trying to dump in are already there because it's an actual superfood. And one scoop of Field Greens has one serving of real certified vegan, vegetarian, USDA organic fruits and vegetables. It's complete with the, you know, prebiotics, the probiotics, the antioxidants, all of it. Clean energy. Healthier lifestyle? Try it now. BrickHouseGlenn.com. That's BrickHouseGlenn.com. Use the promo code Glenn and you're going to get 15% off your first order. Again, visit BrickHouseGlenn.com. Experience a better you tomorrow. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. You know, do you think that, Stu, the left is overplaying their hand at all? I don't get an indication. I keep thinking they do, but I'm not getting an indication that they're scaring the crap out of Democrats yet.
I don't think they are. I think the left in general is split into kind of two categories with some overlap. One being, hey, here's an opportunity for us to finally go for it. Mm-hmm. You talked about this forever, taking the masks off and just admitting this is what they wanted the whole time.
Yep.
We wanted socialism the whole time. We couldn't admit it until now. We used to say the era of big government is over from Bill Clinton. That's not us anymore. We're now admitting it. So I think that's part of it. The other part of it is I think many on the left see far more importance in getting rid of Donald Trump over whatever policy is there. I think a lot of people could come out. Like let's say Joe Biden runs and he runs as a moderate, right? He tries to go down the moderate lane, which is probably not what he's going to do. But if he does, they would be okay with Biden being the nominee, even if he didn't support things like Medicare for All, if they thought he could beat Trump.
Yes.
I think that is like so far above and beyond any other goal they have right now.
It's gotten everybody's blind.
So the people who normally would be uncomfortable with an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because there are Democrats who are like, wait a minute, we know them. I mean, they talk to us.
Lots of them.
They're just like, I don't want a socialist. What's going on? Those people are muted because they just can't stand Trump so much.
Mm-hmm.
And their only goal is to get rid of him at this point. Anything's better than this guy is essentially their mindset.
And that's not true.
It's a very dangerous mindset. It's
very, very dangerous. Listen to Representative Omar. Is this overplaying your hand? Listen to Omar. Not apologizing to the Covington kids.
Do you have any message for the Covington students after your tweet criticizing them for racism? Any message for them tonight?
The message I have for them is that in life often there are consequences on the way that you behave. I feel sorry for the way that some of them have gotten blame and hurt, but I also recognize that in the way that the video appeared, that there was a Native elder who was intervening and really showing care for what it looked like to mediate a difficult situation, and I wanted to hold him in space in my heart and to have a conversation about what hate, division in this country looks like, that is often perpetuated by the inhabitor of the White House.
You did. She seems to even admit there that it wasn't actually true.
Oh yeah,
she says how it appeared.
Mm-hmm. And she won't apologize. She original post said the boys were taunting black men and yelling racist chants. She said
amazing.
That in person. She said that online.
We know that's not true.
We know that's not true. He was asking, do you have anything to say about the Covington kids? And, you know, here's a chance to retract that. Nope.
For her, there are consequences to her actions. Anti-Semitism, you know, all these incorrect statements. The consequence was being elected to Congress.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Alert, alert, alert. Valentine's Day is a week away right now. How about taking 10 to 15 years off your appearance or someone you love's appearance with the new GenuCell jawline treatment? No more turkey neck, double chin, or sagging jawline. It works really well. Linda B. from Marina Del Rey says, I love your jawline cream. It really works. I mean, I really see a difference, and people never believe my age. It works. From now till Valentine's Day, the brand new GenuCell jawline treatment is yours free when you order GenuCell for bags and puffiness under the eyes and for results in 12 hours. The GenuCell immediate effects is also free. Go to GenuCell.com or 800-577-8709. Say goodbye to the double chin, the bags under your eyes, and even those laugh lines and crow feet are going to be gone. Guaranteed or your money back. Nothing to lose here. Crazy offer only for one more week. 1-800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com. Order now. Get the GenuCell Collagen Builder and Freak Set Express shipping as well. 800-577-8709 or GenuCell.com.
Tim Ballard joins us next from Iraq to talk about his meeting with Donald Trump and ISIS. Next.
iPatriots.us is a new conservative alternative to liberal-based email services. It's secure, private, and safe, no ads or spam, and they won't collect or sell your data ever. Go to iPatriots.us right now, pick your membership. At checkout, select your own iPatriots email address, enter promo code Patriot, get the first month free. Go month to month, cancel anytime.
Our last guest was joining us from London. We now jump across the water and down a bit to Iraq, where Tim Ballard is joining us. Tim, welcome to the program. I want to talk a little bit about what you sent to me this morning. But first, let's do this in chronological order. Your meeting with the president, was it Friday or Monday? It was Friday, wasn't it?
It was Friday. It was, I think my days are all twisted and turned right now. It was Friday. I'm pretty sure it's Friday.
Yeah, yeah. You were probably gone by the time he hit the State of the Union, but he
I was in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. He made quite a statement about sex trafficking and trafficking kids over borders. I think you made a great impact on the president on that, and it's a great. A great argument for a wall, because it's happening all over the country. All over the world, where borders are getting weak and people are trafficking in children. And you had a great op-ed on it. What did the president say when you met him?
You know, he asked me, he says, tell me from your experience how a wall would help save children on the border. And it's an argument, frankly, that I was surprised hadn't been made earlier. It absolutely does. I mean, you know, the critics are saying you don't need walls because everyone's being arrested at the ports of entry. And I just want to pull my hair out. It's like, geez, ports of entry don't work without walls. The walls are the things that push the traffic into the ports of entry. And so where the places where we have walls, that's where we rescue children. But the places where we don't have them, you know, one little girl, I think you might have met this girl at one point. I can't remember. I can't say her name, but we call her Liliana in the op-ed. But this little girl, she's in tears right now. She's saying, you know, it's bad enough that I was trafficked and raped 30 to 50 times a day in your country after being kidnapped in Mexico. And now she feels like half the country's turning on her, denying that this could have happened, because this little girl, she's about to go on federal trial. That's why she can't. She's working with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and we're taking care of her and preparing her and so forth. She was taken through a part of the border where there was no wall. And that's what that was her life of sex slavery for 5 years, from the age of 11 years old till she was 15, 16 years old. And she says to me, a wall would have saved me. A wall would have pushed me into where the agents were in the ports of entry. I would have screamed for them. They would have rescued me. And she's in tears. And now your country's betraying me, she says.
Is this the little girl that ran to the flag? She saw the United States flag?
That's a whole different case.
Oh my gosh.
My op-ed, I go through so many cases of where the wall saved people. It's just, it's infuriating to me.
So I want to read to the audience, if I may, Tim, what you sent me this morning. Glenn, I'm completely shocked by what I'm seeing. We have been with armed guards and vehicles within 20 miles of ISIS. ISIS is alive and well, terrorizing Christians very badly. Been debriefing the recently rescued. ISIS soldiers left the ISIS-occupied regions in Syria, came back, the same ISIS commandos, in civilian clothing. They are now hiding in plain sight. Now it's asymmetric warfare against the Christians, and they are still raping and enslaving Christians and Yazidis. Our work is far from done. People need to know, followed by 5 exclamation points.
Yes. Yes. I just came. I'm just in the most somber of, you know, emotionally. We just a couple of hours ago came from these people. Nazarene Fund just pulled them out. 9 families, Christian families, all their the father, the husband has been killed by ISIS. They're in tears, Glenn. They're in tears. I'm crying. They're holding me and saying, please, this is an hour ago. Please tell our Christian brothers and sisters in America, please don't forget about us. They think we're forgetting. And we are. I think we are. They are still there. They just say, take us to Australia, get us, because that's where, you know, we're taking most of these people. Glenn, I met this little girl. This is actually a very heartwarming story that I'm so excited to tell. another little girl. She was kidnapped at 13 for 3 years. This is the horrific part. She was raped by several ISIS soldiers. Her mom gave up. They had a report that she was dead last year. Mom got moved by Nazarene Fund to safety into Australia. And then we got to make the phone call about 6-7 months ago. We found your baby. We found her daughter. We found her. We liberated her. I met with her today. She's in safety now in a place in northern Iraq. And it'll be months now until we can get her to Australia. She wants you to go and deliver her personally to her mother in Australia. So
I would love to do that.
Just crazy.
So, Tim, Australia, it has to be almost a little town now with just the people who have moved from Syria and Iraq that are Christians, that the Nazarene Fund has moved into Australia, because Australia has been one of our best partners. And have you been to Australia yet to see the towns that they're living in?
That's my next stop. I'm going from here to see them. Thousands, Nazarene Fund has moved out there. And what's happening, I'm learning here on the ground, the Christians are being forgotten. Australia is one of the few that are taking the Christians. Other countries are taking, other victims. The United States has taken 70,000 different refugees, but they're not taking the Christians from northern Iraq. They're not taking the Christians from Syria. That's something I'm hoping to work to change in Washington. But thank the Lord that we have Australia that is open arms, and just I'm so grateful for this country that is taking thousands, and I'm going to be there in a couple of days to thank them personally and check in on, you're right, on the villages that are being created by these amazing, awesome, hardworking, faithful, God-fearing, Christ-loving people who are in Australia living their lives in freedom.
Tim, there is one other place that you're operating now, then I don't want to talk about it because of some upcoming operations. But I do want to talk to you when you have a chance offline, because I would like to make a trip there, and then also
I do want to
go to Iraq. It would be an honor to escort her to her mother in Australia, and I think people need to see the things that Australia has done for the Christians who are still under persecution. The scary thing is, yes, ISIS has been defeated, but those guys put civilian clothes on, and they just went back in, and they're just waiting for us now to leave.
Glenn, the horror in their eyes. I met a little boy today, 12, 13 years old. He literally has his back looks like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. His mom's explaining the condition that he literally was in such fear for his life. He hunched in the corner for week after week. They couldn't move him when they were in captivity. And literally his body seized up, and he's in a state of almost semi-paralysis just because of the PTSD and fear, and his eyes are shifting. We're going to get him help. But the fear in their eyes, they've lost their fathers, they've lost their siblings. One family, we recovered one little girl, 13 years old. She was passed around to like 15 different ISIS commandos, and two of her sisters, are still in captivity. Talking to these people, they're crying for our their Christian brothers and sisters in America, and that's us. We've got to respond. There's so much more we have to do.
Tim, thank you so much.
I got pictures and videos I'm going to send you too, by the way.
Please do. May I share? Just tell me which ones I can share.
Okay, I'll send them to you. Okay. We'll black out some faces, but yeah, there's some amazing stuff.
Thank you so much. Tim Ballard, chairman of the Nazarene Fund and Operation Underground Railroad. You can get involved by just going to mercuryone.org, and it will link you to that. Or you can go to the NazareneFund.org, NazareneFund.org, or OURRescue.org as well, and help us. Do the job that no one else is willing to do for some reason, and help us spread the light. Darkness is seemingly unending, but darkness cannot defeat the light. Let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be very, very time-consuming, especially if you're a small business owner. You post a job to several online job boards, and then you just get tons of the wrong resumes. And you got to go through all of the resumes just to find a few people that have the right skills and the right experience or in the right part of the country. And so it's a waste of time almost because you're just overwhelmed with information. The job sites that overwhelm you with those wrong resumes, they're not smart. You need smart technology. You need ZipRecruiter.com/back. ZipRecruiter goes out and finds the qualified candidates for you. It has powerful matching technology. It scans thousands of resumes and identifies people with the right skills, education, experience, and then they go out and invite them to apply to your job. So you get the quality candidates when you need them, fast. Most companies will report that they found somebody that is absolutely qualified within the first hour of posting with ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. You'll get this service for free. Try it out for free now. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, so now, have you heard about the Virginia Attorney General? Okay, not the.
Well, I believe it's now on all Virginia driver's license that it just gives you a status of how many times you've used blackface in the past.
Yes, okay.
That's an interesting.
All right, so the governor is in trouble. Then the lieutenant governor is also in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And now they just found out that the Attorney General of Virginia, who's third in line, he also has been wearing blackface.
So right now, who's going to run the state? Is it going to be the racist, the rapist, or the other racist? And it's very tight.
It's very tight.
It's a good battle.
It could just be left to, some guy named Fred. I don't know. I've just been bowling my whole life. I was a loner. I never went to a party, so I didn't wear the blackface.
This is a great premise for a movie. I think it should just be some guy Fred. And everyone gets themselves thrown out of office.
In Virginia, it might be. The problem is, apparently anybody in government has been into a party and dressed in blackface.
That's an interesting development. I did not know that that was occurring. I will say the fourth in line for the governor is a Republican. So they are in a very weird spot.
Funny.
In theory, right, if all three of these guys got thrown out or stepped down, the Republican would take over the state. Now, there's no way the Democratic Party is going to let that happen, I don't think. My guess would be, if they all decide they're going to have to step down and this really starts burning them, they're all kind of saying now they're not going to step down. But if it gets to that point, they will figure out an order of succession in which, like, they'll make the number two guy step down first, name a new person there, then have the top guy step down and move the second guy up. Like, they'll try to find.
How horrible. They say they're into justice. How horrible.
Oh, gosh.
Playing politics with this. They've got two people wearing blackface. I'd be off the air today if I had a little bit of shoe polish on my nose. And I'd be like, no, guys, I slept in a shoebox last night. And then I could have photos of it. And they would be accusing me. And there would be a campaign to get me removed today.
It's so weird, too. This is a party that defended a grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan in the Senate for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, one guy with a Michael Jackson costume, you're throwing him out of office? What has happened to this party? It was the party that came up with the Ku Klux Klan. It was their idea. And now all of a sudden, they can't even wear costumes.
Right.
Wow, things are changing. How do you keep track of it if you're a Democrat? I don't even
know.
Well,
you're okay with the blackface and maybe even the Klan outfit, but Michael Jackson is a step too far.
It is.
Now, did you hear that on The View?
Joy Behar.
Joy Behar says that she dressed as a black woman and may have worn dark makeup, which, by the way, that pisses me off about the New York Times. Did you see this?
Oh, yes.
That they had their headline. It wasn't blackface. Mm-hmm. He wore dark makeup.
Dark makeup and brown makeup. I saw both of those from the mainstream
media. Are you kidding me? It's called blackface.
Yes.
Do you think they would have given that to a conservative?
Roy Moore, if that came out about him, you think they'd be like, oh, he wore some dark makeup.
Trent Lott came into an old man's 99th year birthday party.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, as he's drooling into a cup, and he's like, you know, hey, America, he's done a lot of great things. And, you know, we maybe it would have been better if we listened to him more often. Okay, well, he happened to be a Grand Wizard of the Klan.
No, that was a different guy, too. I don't think he was. That was he had ran as a segregationist for president.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thurman, that's right. Right. That's right. He wasn't even in the Klan.
Right.
It was Byrd.
Yeah.
Helms. It was Helms.
Helms.
It was Helms.
I'm thinking Thurman. Yeah, it was Helms.
Yeah. And that's right. He ran on a platform of segregation.
Not his whole career.
Yeah,
but, you know,
that one time back in the 1960s, Trent Lott had to go.
It's incredible.
I mean, they got Nancy Pelosi. Oh, mammy. How I love you. How I love you, my old nanny. I mean, they would do nothing. They would do nothing.
And they're torn right now because they have no loyalty to these guys. This guy in Virginia is new. They have no loyalty. As long as they keep a Democrat there, they don't care. It's not like Pelosi, which they would defend. So they're trying to get their points coming out and saying, this guy should resign over these things. I just don't understand. Like, again, what was he, 19 when this happened?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the... Let's just say he was an actual racist at 19 years old. We've had people who were former terrorists on this show. Mm-hmm. When they changed their mind and they've been won over to the light side,
no.
the side of intellectual thought and enlightenment, that seems to be okay. How many times have we seen murderers highlighted by the left who have changed their life around
right.
and now they're different?
Right.
If you have evidence that this guy has been a racist for the past 35 years, by all means. But the fact that he wore a Michael Jackson costume a zillion years ago,
it wasn't a problem. They forgave him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the problem was is he got everybody to pay attention to their abortion bills.
That's where this comes
from.
They
embarrassed him, and now all of a sudden, well, now wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't have overlooked that. His usefulness is over. But now apparently nobody in the Democratic Party in Virginia is not racist or have been
in
blackface.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Abortion. Boy, something I said, I just, for 30 years of my career, I'm not going to tell you, I'm carrying enough water, I got enough torches, I can't carry that one too. It's a ratings killer, nobody wants to talk it. To my shame, I remain quiet. Till about 10 years ago. It is the most important thing we face, and it is the cliff, it is the abyss that we are now staring into, and we are either going to fall off that cliff, or we are going to turn around and go the other way. History shows us what happens when this cliff is faced and the people fail and fall into the abyss. This is the moment of choosing. And Steve Dace has a way to help the fight. He joins us in studio in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So Bloomberg last week had a story about how the central banks bought more bullion last year than any time since 1971. Wow, that's kind of interesting. 1971. Wasn't that the year that they ended the gold standard? End the gold standard since 1971. Last year, more gold bullion was sent to the central banks than ever before. Now, that is incredible. What does that tell you? According to the World Gold Council, governments added 651.5 tons of gold in 2018 alone. That is a 74% increase from the previous year. Russia is de-dollarizing their reserves. They were the biggest buyer, followed by Turkey. Hungary also made large purchases. China is buying up whole mines. They're not just looking for gold bullion. They're buying up the mines. Why? because gold is always a hedge against changes in the international finance system. If the central banks are buying gold and they're on a buying spree, what do they know that you don't know? What do they know that you're being told, oh, no, don't worry about it. It'll always be. My grandfather taught me the people who made money in the Great Depression were the people who still had money in the Great Depression. And the big money always gets their money out and parks it where it's supposed to be first. Ask yourself, what do they know that you don't know? Call Goldline. Goldline.com. Goldline.com. Visit them online or call them at 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE. Ask them to send you some information about gold and silver and find out if it's right for you. It is for my family, and it is becoming much more critical at this time. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. One of the heavy hundred in Talkers Magazine, which shockingly is not a fat joke, because I'm on the heavy hundred too.
You're on it every year.
I'm on it every year.
Are you sure it's not a fat joke?
I'm pretty well. No, I'm actually not. Maybe not. Maybe I'm fooling myself. Steve Dace has his daily radio show and a podcast on television as well, here on The Blaze every day following this. He is one of the real good guys in this business. He is a deep thinker, a deep Christian, and a guy who holds on to his values no matter what. He is also the author of a new book called Truth Bombs. But he has traveled across the country to come to beautiful Dallas in the middle of the week to show me a movie.
For once, I'm not promoting, I'm not doing self-promotion when I go somewhere.
Okay.
There's a team of filmmakers at Believe Entertainment, and they're huge fans of your show. And they actually ended up buying the film rights to my last book, A Nefarious Plot, because they heard you talking about it the air. And that's what introduced them to the book.
Wow. So we get a kickback for that?
Let's talk afterwards.
Just 10%, just as your agent. That's all.
And they were mulling over what their next film project was going to be. And they chose to put this one as a priority over the film adaptation of my book, not knowing that, you know, it takes 2 years to make a movie like this. Not knowing we would be sitting here with the governor of New York saying the things that he said, the governor of Virginia saying the things that he has said. And the movie is unplanned. And I'm sure there's tons of people in your audience that know the story of Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood manager.
She's remarkable.
Who turned whistleblower.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that is based on her book and her experiences. And you can find the trailer on Facebook. I've posted it up on my Facebook wall as well. I think, though, the trailer doesn't do the film justice. The trailer, I think, only hints at what is in the film. What's going to set this film apart from other pro-life movies you've ever seen is it's going to take you inside an abortion clinic, Ben. Glenn, you're going to see you're going to see abortions happen. It is not gratuitous. The film work, the way that they do it, you are fully aware of what is occurring in a way that it confronts you with the reality of these situations. So, I mean, this isn't Pimple Popper on, you know, reality TV meets the pro-life movement. There's nothing gratuitous or anything happening here.
So are
but
these,
you know.
Are these reenactments?
The reenactments of actual cases that Abby witnessed when she was there. And I when they brought this film to Iowa for me to see it about a week and a half ago, And the first 5 minutes I was sitting there thinking, oh no, I'm going to have to tell the truth. And we're already off to a bad start because it has some of the, you know, it has some of the schmaltzy, cheesy Christian movie thing that when I came in here a little while ago, you looked at me and rolled your eyes because you know what I'm talking about.
I know. I didn't know you were coming in for this. I knew I had a movie to see tonight. And I was just talking to my daughter, and I said, I don't want to go see this movie because I know that
I don't want to not like it.
I don't want to not like it, and I don't want to have to look a filmmaker who has tried so hard right in the eye and say, dude, man, stop with the Christian preachy kind of stuff.
I know. It then takes a very dark turn about 5 minutes into this. You're thinking, this is another, you know, Christian movie, and where's the cheesy conversion scene, right?
Yeah.
And then Abby Johnson arrives at work on the day that changed her life, when they made her go inside the operating room when they were short of nurses and actually forced her to confront for real,
not the aftermath of what is happening. She had seen a lot of young women that were bleeding, that were in serious medical conditions, and treated them afterwards. Now she's got to witness firsthand what was really going on in there.
She has to assist.
She has to assist, and you assist with her. And I'm no shrinking violet. The film made me swallow hard, took my breath away. Where the film needs to be great, that is, it's great where it needs to be. And that's what I told them after I saw the movie, meaning people are going to be forced to see what goes on inside Planned Parenthood in ways they never, ever have before.
Do you think, who's going to watch this film? Do you think it will strengthen the people who are on the border and bring them on board, or do you think it has a chance of bringing people who are pro-choice and not strongly, I mean, not giving to Planned Parenthood, but think they're strongly on pro-choice? Do you think they will go and see this?
I thought when I first saw the film that the target audience, you know, Stu, you and I were talking about your wife before we came on, and I thought the target audience is it would take people like your wife, like my wife, like me, and that's a lot of our audiences, and it would confirm them that now, once and for all, we need to end this, which is a pretty big audience. I mean, we had 100,000 people at the March for Life a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But I think the audience, this is expanded now. Now that we're talking about live birth killings.
I think, look, my wife, my daughters are talking about it. Everybody I know is talking about it right now. There is a fight for life, and it's beyond politics. It's not being stirred up this time. I should say this. It's not being stirred up. Do you remember when we were with Orrin Hatch? And we were talking about the Tea Party, and, you know, we said, are people really going to come out in the Tea Party? And he was asking us about stuff. And he said, you know, all I have to do is I'll just propose a flag burning amendment. And that always gets people in the streets. And we were horrified
that he told you the truth.
Yeah, that he told us the truth.
Don't tell us the truth. We don't want to know that.
Yeah, that was just horrifying. And we all looked at each other as he was talking. We're like, oh my gosh, this guy is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And we knew that. He just didn't know we knew that.
Right.
But it was so horrifying. This is not that. This is not that. This is not a political football. It wasn't at least started by the right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was this crazy group of people that actually believe, yeah, we can just let a child, you know, we'll birth the child, but if we tried to kill it, you know, we'll keep it comfortable until we decide how we're going to kill it. I mean, it's so far beyond what even Democrats think.
Right.
That the people who are pro-life but have never been involved, I think they're just beginning to wake up and go, you know what? This has got to stop.
Well, it's because, and you see Abby's evolution in this film. You see her fall for all of the talking points, and they're presented objectively in the way a Planned Parenthood would present them. Mm-hmm. They're not presented ham-fistedly. You can see why a young woman in her situation who's had unwanted pregnancies, you can see why she would go down this road. And it sounds right, and it sounds reasonable. And it's the same thing with my mom when she finds out, you know, she's pregnant with me at 14. You know, and it seems reasonable when Roe versus Wade happens literally a month later. It seems reasonable for her not to want to be a mom at 15 until she has to hear the heartbeat of her own child. And then she has to confront, can I really do this? Is this really the tonsillectomy that they're selling me that this is? Mm. And that's what this movie forces you to confront more than any other pro-life film I've ever seen. And it does so pretty brutally. And I think they're, and maybe this is something we'll talk when they get down here tonight, is, you know, I would encourage them, and I've even told them behind the scenes, when you're done doing the NRBs and the Christian-y crowd, and there's a certain amount of safe that you have to, I've run into this all the time in my line of work. There's a certain amount of safe you have to portray to get these people on board. We don't want any controversy. We don't want anything like that. After you make all those rounds, you get those people on board, I think you should cut another trailer right before the movie comes out at the end of March and drop a bomb and let people know what is really coming in over 800 theaters on March 29th, because this is not This is not a feel-good story. You are going to be confronted with the truth of what is really going on in every one of your Planned Parenthoods all over America.
I don't know if you've sold me on going to that movie. I think that that message sells a lot of people going, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, you mentioned my wife, and my wife has been pro-life as long as I've ever known her, very pro-life. We have two small kids. But this New York story has, I've seen a different side of her come out as far as the emotion and the passion of, about
to
it.
To the point to where she's risking her career.
Yeah, in many ways. And it's and so when this, when I heard that this preview was coming, I mentioned it to her. One of her friends, I had seen it somehow as well and saw, you know, what you're talking about. And she, as someone who is super pro-life and someone who is really passionate about this issue recently in particular, I thought she was like going to be all in on seeing it. She was scared away by seeing the actual brutality of it. And that's a tough thing for people to get over. I think when you're on the pro-life side, right, like you can kind of make the understanding, okay, I'm already on the right side of this. I don't necessarily have to see it. For someone who, like Abby, I mean, this was Abby. She was on the pro-choice side, and this really moved her. Yep. It's the same thing, you know, that people. I'm a vegetarian, which is the nation's only conservative vegetarian. But like,
we'll pray for you.
Thank you. Yeah. But that's what they try to do, right? Like, they try to show, okay, here's a slaughterhouse. Here's the real brutality of what's going on, and that is effective for people, especially when they haven't really faced it. And if we can just get some people on the left or the pro-choice side, that not the Tulsi Gabbards of the world, but someone who's right there,
a Democrat.
Who's just like, you know, I think, you know, I don't like this, but, you know, women should have the right to choose. That person can be really affected by something like this.
I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, there's one of the greatest pro-life speakers I've ever heard is from here in Texas, actually. Pastored a church for, I might even still pastor it over in Houston. Dr. Lawrence White is his name. And he used to drop this line in his pro-life speeches that just, it was a neutron bomb. And that is, the killing will continue until the church says, make it stop. And there's a lot of ministries around the country, they do their one pro-life Sanctity of Life Sunday, and then they just move on for the other 51 weeks out of the year, and the killing continues. And this is a movie that is designed to close that sale. Are you willing, do you really understand what you're for? Do you really understand what you're against? And once you understand it, are you willing to do what it will take to make it end?
So it is, you know, I said we were on vacation to my family, and we started our vacation at Auschwitz. And my wife said, honey, stop calling it a vacation. nothing resembling a vacation begins in Auschwitz. But I did it because I wanted my family to see the truth, stare it in the face, and say, who are we? Who are we? And if this movie can do that, it's what the abolitionists in America and in England tried to figure out. How do we get people to actually look at slavery? If you can get people to actually look at it and decide, it will change the world. I'm glad you're here.
Good to
I'm
see
glad
you,
you're here.
Thanks
okay.
for having me.
Back in just a second, more Steve Dace. Our sponsor this half hour is Norton Security. Now, here's the problem with public Wi-Fi. Public Wi-Fi is public. It's public. It allows anybody to come in and get anything that they want to get. You public Wi-Fi is a nightmare. Now, so are VPNs if you don't know who's providing the VPN. VPN is to guard you. It actually, if you've ever seen the, you know, movies where they're like, quick, trace the call. Where's he coming from? Where's the computer?
And it bounces around the map.
Yeah. Bounces all around the globe. That's what a VPN does. And it keeps all of your information secure. You're actually on a server, you know, in Sweden or something like that. And it keeps you secure. However, Facebook has just come out with a new VPN. Oh, I'm sure you can trust Facebook's VPN to never get any information from you.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?
They are not interested in data, that Facebook. Yeah, they just don't care about it.
They don't care. Mm-hmm. You need Norton Secure VPN. Norton Secure Virtual Private Network. It's for your laptop. It's for your mobile devices. If you don't know what a VPN is now, I guarantee you in the next 2 years, you will be on a VPN. You will have a VPN. You need one if you want to be secure. Norton.com/VPN starts as low as $3.33 a month. It is a VPN that is secure because Norton Security is the group behind it. Norton.com/VPN. Go there now. Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. Steve Dace is with us. You start your show in about 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. Here, you're going to be using Blaze Studios? You're using
I am.
This one?
No, okay. Just down the hall.
Steve, tell me what you thought of the State of the Union.
You know, I'm looking at your board that you have here in the studio, and the point you have number one up on the chalkboard there says polarization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's I think we're absolutely polarized, but I think it's actually even worse. I think it's balkanization. I think that there are just too many places where the cultural differences are too deeply embedded now. It's a knee with no cartilage. It's bone on bone.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are no places, there's some places where no matter who Republicans and Democrats nominate, they cannot win or lose there. And then there's about a dozen states that are kind of, I think, now floating in the middle of this balkanization. And I think the president, particularly the second half of the speech, made a case for an existential level debate with the Democratic Party about the future of America in the 2020 election beyond just how do I get to 270?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, do you understand existentially on a civilizational level where the Democratic Party wants to take you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Kamala Harris not stand when we said we were going to kick peyotes and drug dealers out of the country?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez look at her neighbor in white and say, is it okay to stand for arresting and busting sex traffickers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, did you take a look at Chuck Schumer's face when we talked about live birth baby abortions?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he can, if I were his political director, that message to me is the secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem the president has right now is just not liked enough. And if he could raise his favorables even to the Mendoza line, that there's enough balkanization in the country that he now becomes a positive enough vehicle for people that whether they like what he tweets on Twitter or whether they like what he says or not, when they say, we can't allow them to take the country where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this next election's going to be decided, guys, with suburban women. In 2010, 2014, and 2016, Republicans averaged winning that group by at least 5 points. They lost them by 8 in the last election. And so what Donald Trump, if he wants to be reelected, he needs to force those suburban women to make this choice. What do you hate more? Would I tweet on the presidential throne at 5 a.m.? Or the direction the Democrats want to take the country. And the more he can force suburban women to make that choice, the more likely he is to be reelected, and maybe by a wider margin than people anticipate. And the less that he forces them to make that choice, that's when his unlikable persona comes to the table. And that's where you start getting into territory where it almost doesn't matter how crazy the Democratic nominee is. People will just want somebody different to look
and
at.
That's scary. When it gets one-on-one, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
We only have about 15 seconds left. Glenn, can you just quickly describe what the Mendoza line is?
Not in 15 seconds.
No.
Not in 15 seconds.
Really?
You know what? I'm going to pretend I don't know and ask Steve to define that.
Steve hosts a sports show with Kurt Schilling. He would be able to easily describe the Mendoza line. You just kind of nodded as if you knew what it was.
I do.
That was interesting.
Well, you know, I mean,
it's
a very well-known sports line. And phrase.
That was good. After I said it was a sports show, that was good that you identified.
Well, no, I mean, I knew that already. Now I'm out of time.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I'm trying to think of the politician named Mendoza in history. I'm like, I don't know who that is. All right. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. There is no place at home for fear. And that's been Simply Safe's mission from day one. 3 million families and businesses agree, and they are now protected with Simply Safe. I remember when this company had 6 employees and just what? 8 months ago, 12 months ago, there were only 2 million people that were protected by Simply Safe. Now it's 3 million. They're a remarkable company that really, truly cares about people's safety, and they care about their product, really, really care about getting it right. I love this company and these people. They protect my home. They should protect your home. It's SimplySafeBeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now and save a buttload of money.
If you want more Steve Dace, you can get it at BlazeTV.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck and save some money. Back with more in a second.
We're with Steve Dace, and we're talking about the coming 2020 election and what it means for America. I do believe that we are at the turning point. This one, I know we say it all the time.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
But don't you think it's true this time? Possibly if the candidate is a raving socialist.
It's what's going to happen in 2020 is the argument guys like us have wanted all these years that Republicans like Orrin Hatch have said we don't need to have, and it's ridiculous, and you guys are radicals. We are finally going to have this argument. Unfortunately, it's not going to be because we pressed on offense moments like with the Tea Party movement, for example. This is going to be open war is going to be thrust upon you, Aragorn. Sauron is coming over the Black Gate. And he doesn't care if Aragorn's in charge or Pippin Merry. So regardless, so whatever your feelings of Donald Trump at this point are largely irrelevant now, because Sauron and his hordes, they're coming over the Black Gate in this next election, and it'll be up to the American people to decide whether they have the resolve to force them back or not.
That's that I don't know if people I don't know if people are getting that yet. Do you think that they will? Because I think if you don't get it yet, you have a chance of being left on the sidelines, left behind, or worse, being scooped up by Sauron.
The message the president articulated on Tuesday night, the way that it complemented itself, where he talked about, or he used the term executing babies.
Yes.
We would have never heard George W. Bush use language like that. All right. That kind of stark language. And then, but then to follow it up with the inspirational story of the Holocaust survivor at the end. And I think most Americans aren't ready for the conservatarian limited government revival. I think most Americans also aren't ready for Das Kapital. I think most Americans aren't sure what they are ready for, aren't sure who we can be in the future, but they want to still believe we can be the people we were in the past. And so if the president can focus enough to create where he is the proxy of the spirit of Americana, the spirit of Americanism, if he can be the vehicle for that up against the left, then I think he can be a very effective weapon. That's where his trolling and some of those things work to our advantage, I think. But we're going to have this debate, Glenn, because the left has now decided they believe they've completed Antonio Gramsci's long march through the institutions. They think they control them all. And they think that Trump is unpopular enough and is undisciplined and egotistical enough now that they can run an open communist and run it in broad daylight. They can jump out in a red unitard and a pitchfork now. They don't have to convince us he's not there anymore.
So do you believe that this abortion thing, you know, at first I thought this is just politics to rally their base. And then I thought, you know, this is really a setup for the argument about the Supreme Court when Ginsburg dies. That's what this is about. And now that I've been in the room with them, I think this is just those are secondary to no, we're going to win. We're going to win, and this is what we really believe.
Yep.
And it's time to come out because the people will be with us. And
yes.
it's an arrogance. And I saw it sitting there in the State of the Union. I wish the cameras would have been from my perspective, from the back, because you could watch these people and how they were reacting the whole time, how they were coordinating when to stand, when to clap, what to clap for, when they were disgusted and making faces and booing and hissing that you couldn't hear at home. It was phenomenal. The arrogance, especially of the freshmen and the women who are all dressed in white.
What you're describing is a religious fervor.
It was.
You're describing cultic activity. I mean, this isn't progressivism. This is the old paganism. And we're going to have a debate, not because we want to have it or we have the guts or the testicular fortitude on our side to have it, because we don't. We'd like to run from it. We'd prefer Pleasant Valley Sundays and NFL Sunday ticket. And I say that as a guy who's tempted by those things as much as anybody else. We would prefer just to continue living out in quiet desperation here. But we're going to have an existential debate. Do you want paganism or the Judeo-Christian foundation that the Western civilization was built on? And we're going to have it because they want to have it. And they will settle for absolutely nothing less.
And I wrote in one of my fiction books, The Eye of Moloch, a scene in the Bohemian Grove that it all kind of came to an understanding that what was celebrated by evil with Moloch and Baal in the Old Testament is still happening. It's just happening without the trappings of all of that. But it was Baal was a god who said, come eat, drink, and be merry, have sex, do whatever you want, just give me your child's blood. Once you're pregnant, bring it to me and we'll kill the child together. And that was the ceremony, and everybody was joining in. And we're doing the same thing as they were in the Old Testament. We just don't call it Baal. We call it what? Liberalism?
Progressivism. That is exactly right. And it's a point I've tried to make for years. And I had the senator, the Orrin Hatch in my state, Charles Grassley and others, when I was coming up in local media, and I'm a radical and I'm an idiot and I'm making things worse and Republicans can't win. Well, the bad news is people like me were right all along. And the good news is, though, we're going to have an honest fight now. All the lines are going to be drawn. And Confucius say, man who straddles fence for too long eventually gets nether regions caught in it. You will not be permitted moral neutrality. There will be no Switzerlands. As Eric Erickson likes to say, you will be made to care. And they're going to be the ones making you care.
One thing I think is interesting about this as we go to 2020 is I'm concerned about when a field narrows to one-on-one, anything can happen. And so if they do go through this primary process and a socialist, a legit socialist comes through it, which is really possible here. I mean, someone who's
very possible,
further especially left than anyone they've ever run.
Especially if the economy is weak. If the economy is really bad, socialist will win.
And so even though the American people might be much more aligned with the way Trump has governed than this, the personality stuff they don't like, it's when it's a one-on-one thing, if they don't have this economy to fall back on or some other big bump in the road, they might wind up just saying, no, I don't want Trump. I'll take whatever the other option is.
Yeah.
And that option could be seriously radical. I mean, it's in a way a reverse of what happened
with
the Democrats in 2016.
Or Democrats pulled off in 2008 with Bush fatigue. So, you are exactly right. If you go back to the Nixon-Kennedy debate in 1960, every presidential election but one, this last one, was won by the president who had higher favorabilities. The only reason it didn't happen this time is both Hillary and Trump were so far underwater, their negatives were so high that the favorable metric was irrelevant.
Correct.
Okay. The other thing, too, is historically, presidents have been reelected in America about 70% of the time. And if you look at only one president in American history got reelected by getting fewer electoral college votes than what he received in his first election when we didn't before manifest prior mm-hmm. or past manifest destiny. That was Obama.
Obama, yeah.
Obama's the only one that ever got reelected by his base shrinking from where he first got elected.
And that's largely because he won by a lot in 2008.
Yes. The challenge for the president, if somebody on his team, somebody he cares about and respects around him, Stu, somebody needs to say to him, this year, you need to be the president of the United States. You need to raise the stature and respectability level of your presidency. And you let them go off and do their own little communist, locust feasting on each other, like HuffPo writing about, the Minnesota senator can't keep a staff and all this stuff. Let them do that to each other. You need to, for people to see you as a credible president, because the majority of Americans right now do not. And so you need to build up you and your image and your presidency first. The time for trolling, which he greatly enjoys, and taking and the one-on-one combat, and I get it because I love it too. That time will come, but that time is not yet now. And if he doesn't build up the image of his presidency, he will lose that one-on-one.
The problem there is, I think, is that the president likes a street brawl. He likes it,
mm-hmm.
and the Democrats know it. And they're going to provide the street brawl. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to be taunting him.
I agree.
Like Nancy Pelosi's little insulting clap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're going to goad him every step of the way. He needs to have the strength to restrain himself.
Yep.
And it will be bad if he rises above and says, that's whatever they want to do, they're doing.
She's goading him right now to go for the shutdown again. Mm-hmm. Her latest comments on the shutdown was like, look, we're not going to have another shutdown. I know we're not. It's too hot to handle for him. Now, you say that to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The first thing he wants to do is shut not only the government down, but the entire country just to prove a point. And they're trying to goad him into things that they find beneficial. And it's going to be tough for him to resist it because they're just so irritating.
They really are. Steve Dace, you can hear him. He's going to be next on the Blaze Radio and Television Network, blazetv.com/Beck. Subscribe now. Use the promo code Beck and you're going to save some money on that, 10%. Steve, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much.
Take care. Talk to you again. Be listening in about 15 minutes.
And don't forget about the book, Truth Bombs, is out now in stores. Get it from Steve Dace. You got to get that right away.
Okay. Let me tell you about X Chairs. Oh, I can't tell you how good it is to be out of the Washington Bureau. They don't have X Chairs. In fact, I think they have some sort of torture chair.
Is it a medieval brand?
Yeah, it's almost like those 1970s like mushroom chairs. I mean, it's like some design chair that supposedly looks good.
Rent's a lot cheaper here in Texas.
Oh my
gosh. I don't know what they're paying up there.
You walk into the room and you're like, I ain't not sitting on that. And lo and behold, you're sitting there for 3 hours and it is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I could barely walk after the show yesterday. X Chair. Great, great chair. X Chair, they have the Super X Chair, which has, I mean, it's like Professor X is going to wheel around in it. It's a great chair. Even the X Basic, which will save you a lot of money, has all of the great adjustments. And I'm telling you, they are as comfortable as any recliner. When you lean back, they're as comfortable as any recliner I've ever sat in. This is an office chair. Go to xchairbeck.com. They have a new financing option. You pay as little as $30 a month. Xchair also on sale for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck, B-E-C-K.com. You'll also get the free footrest. If you use the promo code Beck, you'll save that $100. Get the footrest as well at xchairbeck.com. Radio code Beck. Really excited to introduce you to Arthur Herman. He is a guy who I just met recently, and I am one of his biggest fans. He's a historian. He is a writer of some of the best history books on American history that I've ever read. He's a great, tremendous writer and can tell stories about America that you just haven't heard. He's going to be on our podcast this Saturday, the Glenn Beck podcast. You can grab it. It's free wherever podcasts are available. It's Arthur Herman. He wrote Freedom's Forge. He also has been asked by the Pentagon to come and advise them because of Freedom's Forge. It showed how American industry got in and helped us win the war. And they asked him, do you think that American industry would still behave that way? And you have to hear his answer. It's on the podcast. It's this Saturday. Just sign up for the podcast. Make sure that you review and rate and subscribe, because that is the way other people find the podcast. So if you want somebody to discover it, you have to review, rate, and subscribe.
I have a lot of confidence in American industry. I mean, if we can come up with Taco Bell nacho fries, I feel like we could kind of do anything. I mean, that's an amazing, I mean, a Mexican
I don't think that's the
fry.
Industry that's we're thinking about saving
well,
America.
You're not in the military. I'm sure the military would be like, you know what? Yeah, send the nacho fries. I heard a commercial, though, today. I wanted to get your opinion on this from a cultural perspective. Papa John's. So they ran a commercial today, and I swear they're trolling, like, organic food snobs with it. The actual tagline was, if you like to get your food directly from the source, get our $6 takeout pizza today. And it's like directly from the source doesn't mean to pick it up at the shopping center.
Yeah, that is a troll.
That is a troll,
that's
right?
That's a troll.
All right.
That's a troll.
I'm Papa John's. I kind of salute you.
I do. I salute you.
Like the eat local thing. They're making fun of the eat local thing. But none of the context of the commercial made me think at all that it was a trolling spot until you actually listened to what they said, which is, you know, we get your food from the source. That means like you go to the farm. Mm-hmm. It's farm to table. Mm-hmm. It's eat local.
I think that's also great. Papa John's should also do the eat local. You want to eat local? Call your local Papa John's.
That's basically what they're saying.
It is.
Come pick it up. It's the source of the food. Well, yeah, but you shipped in the cheese from like another country, which again, I'm totally fine with. I have absolutely no idea where it comes from.
Man, the tomatoes were made in Mexico. Yeah. And I mean made. They were grown. They were made in Mexico.
I love that. We need more companies with balls. I mean, like Papa John's has had its own issues the past few years where they've kind of folded a little bit on some very tough moments. Which would kind of surprise me that they would go down this road. Usually, when a company has an issue like this, the next 12 years of their advertisements are, we just want you to know, we're not going to show you a piece of our pizza, but we really like black people. Black people are wonderful. You know how much we like black people? More than white people, I'll tell you that much. It's like, that's your ad campaign for the next 6 months?
Yes.
Or maybe 6 years?
But I think you're getting to the point now to where people know they're going to hate us no matter what we do.
Yeah.
So.
And who's your fan if you're Papa John's? Like, it's the person who thinks eating local's dumb. So I think that's a good campaign.
Eat local. We're local.
Yeah.
We'll drive it to your house.
Come on. You can't get any more local than that. It's your place.
you think an out-of-towner is going to do that?
No.
I'd like to see more of that, quite frankly. All right. See you tonight. It's a call-in show. Any questions you want, State of the Union, whatever, at blazetv.com/Beck, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Glenn Beck.